Father God, we thank you on this Thinking Day, this Founders Day, this day where we come to worship you, to hear you. We thank you for already been speaking to us. Help us indeed to hear your voice for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. So hopefully you've been listening. I tend to look at you because you're on this side, so I can look over on this side as well. But that doesn't mean that I'm leaving you out. Because I had thought of taking the mic and going wandering all around the place, but sometimes that scares people because they're not sure. They hate it when you sort of come along their row, they think you're going to pick on them. So we'll not do that today. But apart from the brownies. So in other words, you're not allowed to answer. Apart from the brownies, what was the brownies poem about? Yeah. The rainbow. Brilliant. Somebody was listening. Now, it didn't say this in the brownie poem, but where was Noah when God showed him the rainbow? Now, it wasn't in the brownie poem and it wasn't read. I'm just trying to find out if anybody actually knows. What was the story? What led up to the rainbow? Sorry? The ark? Very good. All right. So where did the ark end up? In a flood, very good. But after the flood, do you know where the ark ended up? You're very good, but you gotta put your hand up. That's cheating. Let's go down there in case they didn't hear. One of you biggins. Where did the ark end up? Come on, I know you've got voices. Go on, don't be shy. All the children are waiting for you. Where did the ark end up? Oh, by the way, you're biggins too. Some of you, I know there's a couple of weans. Oh, go on, you help them out. Where did the ark end up? On a hill. All right, so you've been helped out over here. Right, the ark ended up on a hill and God showed that the floods would stop by showing a rainbow, which we heard in the brownie's poem. In the first reading that was from Exodus 24, there's a mountain. And in the reading from Matthew chapter 17, there's a mountain. And I want to talk today about mountains and hills. Because that's what the readings are about. The first one, the brownies, is because it was a rainbow. And the rainbow had to do with God's promise. And God's promise, and we should be used to this in Fermanagh. Because there's a joke that goes around, and I've learnt it. And if I'm wrong in this, I'm wrong in this, if it came from Fermanagh, then I apologise. It might have come from outside of Fermanagh. But the joke is that for 6 months of the year, the lakes are in Fermanagh. And the other 6 months of the year, Fermanagh's in the lakes. And you only have to look out over there to realise that for a number of our farmers and parishioners of mine, their land, you can't see it anymore because it's underwater. And it would be easy, actually, as I was looking on the internet this morning, there's an email that I got from Billy Graham Foundation, which is asking for support for the people in Wales. Because the people in Wales have been flooded, and there's many, many people are having to deal with and to come to terms with the fact that their house is underwater. Now, it may not be right up to the ceiling, but when you open the door, you're walking on a carpet that's laden with water. Or the carpet is maybe 2 to 3 to 4 inches or 10 to 20 centimeters under water. And that's not nice in anybody's language. And that doesn't just be nice, clear water that comes out of the tap. That's water that's got all the muck and the garbage and everything that is flowing with it. Now, some people in Fermanagh have experienced those things. And you would be tempted to think, this is terrible, the world's coming to an end. But God made a promise back in those days that the world wouldn't come to an end. And he would always be with us and he'd always help us. And so that was the first one, the brownies. But the second one, well, actually, maybe I'll go to the, second one, was in Exodus 24. So who was it talking about in Exodus 24? Now, I know it's a long time ago, because it was right at the beginning of the service, and Ethan's bound to know because he read it. But there's two main people that it talks about. And I'll tell you that the two main people are not Aaron and Hur. It's the other two people. There's two main people in the reading. And you could say there's a whole stack of other people because it's all the people of Israel that were down at the bottom of the mountain. But two people went up the mountain to see with God. Anybody apart from Ethan tell me who the two people were? It's going to be easy for him because he read it. Who were the two people? Dear. I have to warn you now in future, you've got to listen to these readings. The two people, one was Moses. Okay, let's try another question. What did Moses do? What was Moses famous for? Do you know? What did Moses do apart from go up the mountain? That's the easy one. Yes. He prayed. Very good. He did. What else did he do? Maybe you should ask the choir. You know, just because you're behind me, wouldn't want to leave you out. Yes. Sorry. You'll have to speak up because I can't hear you. Go on, shout. It's okay. I shout all the time. Mom, I'm sure you've got a big loud voice. If I could find out where your mum is, they could tell me. No? I know it's hard. All right. Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, is what Moses did. But he did it because God told him to. And Moses did it somewhere around the age of 80. And he wasn't a youngster. An old man. And he got it wrong so many times. But he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when he brought them out of Egypt, it led to what that first reading was. They were at the base of the mountain. And he had to go up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. That's what he did. And he took, who did he take with him, Ethan? Joshua. He took Joshua with him. Now, all of you, now, I've got rainbows. We've got guides. We've got squirrels, I remember. And we've got Cub Scouts. And we've got Scouts and guides. We've got a whole lot in there. You're all learning. But you have leaders. And hopefully you know who all your leaders are. Now, all the leaders were not up at the front. But there's a couple of main leaders. There's somebody on this side who's the big boss. And there's somebody on this side who's the big boss. And I'm not sure which one's the big boss, but maybe that's the wrong term. But anyway, we'll stick with big boss. We'll just go with that. There's a big boss on this side, and there's a big boss on this side. If you like, there are Moses. But they also have little bosses, or lesser bosses, or helpers, or I'll probably get told some other day they've got a particular title. But basically, you all are followers, because that's what we've been praying. And all the rest of us are followers too, whether you are ever in the Scouts or the Guides or not, because we all follow somebody. But there's another phrase I'm sure that you've heard of before. Is that so often in organizations there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians? Because sometimes there's people who want to rule from the front who aren't really capable. They're not gifted enough. Or there's people who want to lead from the front who haven't been in training long enough. Now, looking at you all, you start from very young ages. Some very definitely young ones are in training, I know. And you go up through the different ages. And as I see, and it's partly because of the way you're sitting, but they get older and older, although over here, that rule doesn't apply. Because we've got a few older ones in the middle, and then it goes young again. And I'm not sure why that is, but doubtless if I asked, I'll find out sometime. But you go in an organization. So tell me, which side will I pick on? Alan, how long can you be in the Scouts as in part of the organization before you become a leader? In other words, when you start in at the beginning, what generally is the age range? Okay, so you have to be 4 or 5 is what you can start at, and then you go to 18 before you can become a leader, but you can train to be a young leader before that. 4 or 5 to 18, 14 years, 13, 14 years of training, 13, 14 years of following. You see, what Moses did is that Moses trained Joshua. And we don't know Joshua a whole lot, but everybody knows Moses. Nobody has to think twice about who Moses is. But it's as you read your Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Do you know what the 6th book of the Bible is? And I've just told you. Joshua. Joshua is the 6th book of the Bible. And Joshua is the man that takes over after Noah. So when you go to whatever organization it is that you go to, and you maybe think that, yes, it's good fun, or there's sometimes you think this is taking long and it's hard, as you remain dedicated to what you do, you realize that they, as in the big bosses and well, not so big, but nah, the lesser bosses, we'll stick with that, are looking at you. And they're questioning you. Because they're trying to work out who's going to be the next leader. Who's going to be somebody that is dedicated to the organization. But also part of what we prayed. Because it's not just to the organization, it's to other people. And sometimes we can get caught up in a thing where we're just focused on in here. And people in church can get like that, where all we see is just the building and the people in the church. But we've got to reach beyond that. And people don't look at you just by what you do on a Sunday. They also look at you at what you do Monday through to Saturday as well. Because they know what you do on a Sunday. And whether that's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday, whenever you meet for scouts and guides, and yes, whenever you've got all the uniform on and you look lovely and you're all dressed up and everything and you have all your badges, people are looking at you when you don't have the uniform on. And you can be pretty sure that your leaders know you when you don't have the uniform on. And that sometimes can affect who becomes a next leader. Because being a scout and being a guide is not just whenever you wear the uniform. And it's not just when you're doing things, as great and as wonderful as those things are. Because what they're training you for is for life. Is to be good to your scouts and your guides, but to be good to your neighbour and your friends. Because that's the teaching of the church. Because if it was all just about what we do in here, we would just be a nice holy huddle. And there's no point in that. And in the second reading that was from Matthew 17, we have Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And again, Jesus took up three of the disciples. He didn't just go up on his own. And whenever Jesus took the disciples up and they saw something wonderful and magnificent, and Jesus told them to be silent and not to talk about it, but to keep it in their hearts. Because when you read on in the Bible into the Acts of the Apostles and later on in the letters, you hear about the story. You hear about who Jesus was and what he did. But it's all about preparation. It's all about being prepared to wait. Being prepared to be faithful. Not just faithful within your group, but faithful beyond that. And yes, you all have done a good job. And yes, you do good jobs. And you did good jobs today by the readings, by the poems, by the prayers. But it's not just for here. It's not just because mummy and daddy and granny and grandas are watching. It's when you leave these doors and you march away and then you get out of your uniform later on today. Is remember, you're still a scout. Remember, you're still a guide. Regardless of whether you're wearing the uniform or not. And be faithful to the promises that you made. Because it matters. It matters. You are special people. Never forget it. You do have a role. But just in the same way, so do the rest of us. So let's learn from the example of these faithful scouts and guides. And let us make our own promises that we're not just something when we're here, but also when we leave. Let's be on to everyone and give to everyone the right attitude that we've heard about and listened to today. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that yes, this is called a thinking day. Because we need to think about the things that we do and the things that we say. And yes, it's good that we come and we renew our promises on this thinking day, on this Founders Day. That we affirm what we believe in and what we're part of. But help us too to remember, Lord, that it's not just for today, but it's for every day. Whether we wear a uniform or not, whether we're in the company of people who know us or not, that we will do good to our friends and our neighbors, that we will do good to the people that we meet. And it may not be that we're a scout or a guide, but it's because we believe. And we believe in you, Lord, that we have seen and heard wonderful things about Jesus. And so we will follow you, Lord. to be the best that we can be. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.